So in Malachi 3, verse 8, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." So he is saying here that if you do not give a tithe and an offering, he's saying this to Israel, if you don't give a tithe and an offering, you are robbing God. All right? Verse 9 says, "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." You know, I think that there's a lot of people. I think there's probably no one here that would give a second thought to stopping at the BP station on the way home and robbing it. I mean, and is anyone planning on doing that tonight? No one's planning on doing that. No one's planning on robbing someone on the way home. You wouldn't even give a second thought. But the Bible says, for us not to give the way he has commanded is to rob God. It's to rob God. So probably, when we just took the offering for this morning and tonight, there may be someone here that you robbed God today. Sometime during today, you robbed God for what was rightfully his. All right? Now, in verse 10, it says, "Bring ye all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." So it says, bring your tithe into the storehouse. I think you bring it to the house of God. You bring it to the place that has God's name on it. And you bring it systematically. I think when you're paid, you bring it. And he says, prove me. That means put me to the test. Don't live your entire Christian life without putting God to the test. Can God supply your needs? And I'll tell you, I say this every year, but I think this is true. You are trusting the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of all your sin, and you are trusting him to give you a new body in heaven. You're trusting him for eternal heaven. If you're trusting him for all those things, can you not trust him with your weekly or daily income? And I think the obvious answer is, of course you can trust him. But many people do not learn that. Many people give a good offering. I mean, it may be $50, $60, $70, $80, $100 a week. Many people give a good offering, but they don't give a tithe. Many people give a small offering, and they don't come close to tithing. Many people do not give at all. But God here says, put me to the test and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Now, that does not mean give $100, get $1,000 back. It does not mean the more you give, the more you're going to be given back. I do believe that God gives back to you in different ways, not always financially. What he does promise is, as you give, I will provide for you. I will meet your need. So I think you can trust him. He challenges us to trust him. I think that it is a major mistake to not learn how to give to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think you'll be eternally disappointed. When I mentioned before church, or as we started here, I talked about starting those churches from scratch. And I, as a general rule, this is true. People who gave did well financially. People who were always struggling, always needed help, always struggled with their bills, were almost always people that were having trouble giving. Now, you can say, well, they were having trouble giving because they were having trouble financially. I know you can say that. But I believe I can look at it the other way and say the reason they were always having trouble financially is because they were not giving. God's promise, if you will trust Him, prove Him, test Him, He will provide for you. So I really, if you do not tithe and give a tithe and an offering, I challenge you to begin. Test God for the week. Test Him for 1 week and see if He doesn't get you through that week. All right? Number two, that's systematic giving. We take that giving, that's how we really set up our church budget, and that's the way we operate. Secondly, the second type of giving is spontaneous giving. I think when you're prompted by the Holy Spirit, someone comes and a missionary comes in, gives a testimony, and just the Holy Spirit moves you that you should help that person out. Maybe it's an evangelist. Maybe you run into someone in church that has a need, and God just lays that person on your heart, and you decide to take out a $20 bill, or you decide to write a check for a certain amount, whatever. But spontaneous giving, that would be our love offerings. We take love offerings or we take special need offerings. That would be spontaneous giving. It's not figured in your budget. It's something that you do not have to do. I don't think God commands you to do it, but you feel like the Holy Spirit has moved you. Over the years, I've seen a lot of things like that happen. I've seen people put cash in the mail. I don't necessarily recommend that, but I've seen people put cash in the mail and send cash to someone and not sign it. I've seen, many times I've just seen people hand money to the person, say, here, I want to give this to you. I've seen people pay bills before, pay someone else's bill. I've seen anonymous gifts given through our church that people will say, here, I want you to give this amount of money to somebody, and I don't want them to know who gave it, and it's an anonymous gift. I've seen several things like that. I've seen people leave things on the doorstep. So that's, I think, is spontaneous giving. It's over and it's above systematic giving. I would say this to you, be careful. Be careful in your spontaneous giving, because a lot of people come to our church and they ask us for money, or they call on the phone. And here's what you have to decide. Person's has a needy situation. Now, what you have to decide is, why do they have a needy situation? And if they have continuously been robbing God themselves, they're living in sin, they're robbing God, they're not being obedient to God, then God may very well be chastening them. God may be chastening them financially. So you be careful, because if you're not careful, you will be helping somebody that God is chastening. Do you understand? You say, well, here, I want to give you $100. And God, on the other hand, is chastening them because of where they are spiritually. So I don't think it's an easy thing to do. When we have people come to church and ask for money or ask for help, a lot of times we will ask them if they're willing to work. And a lot of people say, sure, I'm willing to work. And we try to find something for them to do for 3 or 4 hours. And if they will work around the church for 3 or 4 hours, then we'll give them cash, or we'll give them a gift card or something like that. If we think they're alcoholic or something like that, sometimes we'll just go buy them groceries, and we won't give them cash. You have to be careful today with drug abusers, people that are on drugs coming asking for help, and you know, obviously take the money and use it on the drugs. So I think you have to be careful. Now I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to read verse 6, 7, and 8. Now here's a good principle. And there's something down here I want to show you that I've wanted to do for years, but I've never had the courage to do it. And I'll explain it to you. I've never explained it either. Chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. So don't be afraid to give a spontaneous gift. He that sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And then he says, and he which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. I think that verse is pretty easy to understand. If you give sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you give bountifully, you reap bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver.